I only found one little stone here. If there are other stones available somewhere, please feel free to put them here. And only the ones who were here yesterday understand it. It's not an inside joke. It's the reality of life. Some of us hiding stones in our shoes so don't forget that someone really gave it a hard time in our lives. So, I don't know. This is a nice place, really. It would look good. And all these people would leave without stones in their shoes. Hallelujah. Patricia, where are you? Good. Thank you so much for the little moment yesterday. Because I didn't know you were Joel's wife when I came here. I didn't all connect it. And with new knees that connected both of us, that was good. And then I had for many years a little booklet for people who are going through the loss of someone. And so yesterday morning I was in my quiet time and I was looking at this little book and I thought, I'm going to give this to Patricia. It's always nice when you listen, you know, you're amazed what God can do when we listen. And so I gave it to Patricia. And what happened, Patricia? Isn't it wonderful? So this morning I went to the singing, we remembered all kinds of hymns that were in our lives. And Barbara gave her stories, all the hymns and the words that she learned all through her life. And I think everyone who was there started to think about songs that we liked, didn't you? I did. I was thinking about good old hymns that I learned in school. And sometimes if you didn't know a line, you would get a slap on your ear or your ear was pulled. That was not a happy memory. But the words were happy memories. And even in a time of great distress, a song or a hymn can be such a strength to your life. If you take care for older people, there's no greater joy than you pick up on something new. Don't start to sing a tittle song because they don't like them. They like these good old words with meaning. And then I also, when I walked in here, there was Betty. Where's Betty? There's Betty. She came, I met her, I think the first time, in Maine, in the camp, with the lobsters and the steak and all this good stuff. Wow. We had such a fantastic time. But you know what? You make new friends. And we have met in between. And now we are here again. So you have, I hope, made some new friends here. Because it's important. That makes your life so rich. And even if you don't always call and send emails and things, it's just those little tiny touches. So for that, I'm happy with Facebook. I have met Marie on Facebook. I never met her husband, John. But it's wonderful. And then I saw Carol being married with the man that I saw in Maine. And we started to pray for this man with his mustache. And then lo and behold, here she is. Here they are. Isn't that good? Oh, there's so many wonderful memories. And I hope you don't forget them. Then I met a woman yesterday from Chile or the last 2 days. And we started to talk. And all these little connections. You know what Corrie ten Boom would call it? A foretaste of heaven. Amen. And I think this camp is a foretaste of heaven. I mean, think about it. That I met you, I would have never met you in Virginia. But I meet you here against the wall. Every morning, every evening. And you have humor. I love people with humor. So, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing here with us, dear son. Wow. You better watch over him. He's cute. This morning I was thinking how different we all are. And by the way, I have all kinds of things in my purse. And one of them is this Muslim paper. Now, Dana had copied a couple of them. So talk with Dana. and he will take care of you. Okay, I think you need to pay a couple of dollars for all the printing, but that's not much, or maybe 10 cents. I have no idea. So, but this morning I was thinking, all these different people is amazing. And one thing we did in our Sunday school class, the last class that I taught in Third Presbyterian Church, was that we fingerprinted on a big piece of paper. And that would be a fun thing. You don't write your name with it. But just to see if you all put your thumbprints on there, how different we are. You know, I would think that Elizabeth and I, we have a little bit the same prints, yeah? Well, until we put them on a piece of paper, and then we see it. So maybe you have time. These shower things are great. I love these shower, and there's a hole in it, so you can hang it on a hook at home. Isn't that fun? Good, that is that. I heard also some sadness yesterday when Don said something. We are over halfway now in this camp. Whew, already?
It was a couple of days ago.
I thought it was a day ago. And then I thought, yeah, this is a family. And when you say goodbye to your family, there is something, isn't it? You feel like, wow, we have a whole year again. We have learned from each other. Unbelievable. And then you say goodbye, and we all are very strong, and we just say, bye, have a good time, have a good year. But you never know if you see that person again. So take time to say goodbye. Don't say it tomorrow, 10 past 10. Start to say today. Have some time together. I had this wonderful choral master and his wife for this whole week. I will never forget the man. I remember someone in my last church. I never sang in a choir because my sister was so good in singing. And she was always chosen above me until one day she was sick and I had to sing her role. Man, I felt so good. One time I beat her. I could sing. And then I never felt the joy of singing until my last year in Beulah United Methodist Church. I went to my choir director and I said, Mrs. Lazarada, can I sing your choir this last year? Yeah, you can. She was very short, Seventh-day Adventist. She had the routine. And she had I never had a great talk with her, but it cost me really about a year to ask her the question. Have you ever had that in your life? And you can be turned down or turned up. Well, she turned me halfway up. And she says to me, yeah, you're in tenor. A tenor? Oh gosh, a tenor. Me, a tenor. I didn't know I was a tenor. I thought alto, but tenor. That's a man's job. Sherry, are you sure? She said, yes, I've listened so long to your voice and I wanted you to be singing that choir with these men because we need a tenor so bad. We don't have enough tenors. So, Sunday morning, you're there. So I became a tenor. And they call you not tenor, but you call the men. The men sing, all right? So, but our choir director has really practiced real good. He calls us tenors or something else. Isn't that good? Okay, Lord, here we are. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for each other. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you once said goodbye to us. And you're looking forward to the day that we come and we can say hello. And so I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, the children, the teenagers, that we all will experience that great day when we will see you face to face and that we can say, hello, Jesus, here we are. Amen. Amen. So, I talked yesterday about the worries. Today is tomorrow. We worry about yesterday. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, even not packing your suitcase. I always pack my suitcase, well, a couple of hours before. But when I started to work with Corrie ten Boom, she said to me, Ellen, I want you to pack your suitcase, 27 years, coming out of nursing, had the world in my hands, started to work with a person that I didn't know. And she was just telling me every time what to do. I wasn't used to that. So one of the things was, pack your suitcase 4 days before we travel. You don't say that to a young woman. And we didn't have all this nylon or Telenka or things that didn't wrinkle. We had to travel 3 weeks to Israel and everywhere. And I looked at her and I said, 3 days before, my mind will change maybe 10 times. That means I need to take it in, I need to take it out. This morning, you know what I was doing? What do you think I was doing? I started to pack because I know Dana want to be on time by the airport. And it was like a giggle that I heard from heaven. Corrie ten Boom says, you're coming closer. One day. It's good, isn't it? God is an unbelievable God. And this morning, I took some time just to be by myself. And I skipped a couple of things that I normally do. And while I was singing one of the songs or listening, I got in my heart, just take some time alone this morning. And it was so good to be quiet and to listen. And then I had time all by myself for almost an extra hour. And it's a good feeling when you don't need to hurry. And I just skipped one thing in my life and I saved a whole hour. It's amazing, isn't it? So, there is so much that I have learned in the last couple of days. And one of them is that I have met quite a group of couples. When I married on the 1st of August, 1976, that was in Holland, in the Valley of Flowers, it's called. Bloemendaal, Haarlem, Holland. So I had to say goodbye to everyone in my life. And I was going with this Texan-American preacher to Tulsa, Oklahoma. No mountains, no real lakes. They make them there. Maybe many of the lakes are made, but that's okay. And a lot of fear. You know when you hide a lot of fear inside when you start a whole new journey? And when I arrived in our apartment on the campus, there was a little package for my sister. And I carry it with me, and I always have it close to me. Because it is a reminder, and it is not just for a marriage. I'm not just talking to marriages. Friendships. Wonderful communities that you have committed yourself to. A group of women that have been doing things together. But right now, I just want to say, because this is the 1st of August, that when I opened this little package, this was in there. And some things has left me. I don't know what happened. But in it was a duff from the top of my cake that is now absolutely gone. But I keep it there. And then there was a beautiful little handkerchief that I used for my first tears after my marriage. But I don't know where the handkerchief went. So someone must have fallen in love with it. And then it says something very special. First of all, this is our little wedding picture. And then it says something. Breakbaar. Our marriages are so breakbaar. Our relationships are so breakbaar. One bad thing and it's falling apart. And so every time when I see my little box and Bob and I have a little bit of just a bit of hard time. Do you know what I mean with that? Do you have had those moments in your life? That you wish it wasn't morning and that you had to sit on the coffee table and drink a cup of coffee. And it's not just marriage. Please, don't think that. But all of us, every relationship can fall apart. And it falls apart little by little by little. It's breakable. Breekbaar in Dutch. And you know, I pray that this whole week, some of your marriages, some of your friendships, and even with all the young people, fragile friendships, they fall in love with the wrong person, and then someone else steals that person. And it's arch, and you don't see him for a couple of years in camp because they took pain with them. But it's breakable, and therefore, hold on. Because when I sit with Bob in the morning or late at night, and we have this saying, don't let the sun set, make it right. And until now, we made it. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Oh, I could have packed my suitcases several times, and I would have packed them a week before. But you know what? It's this precious, wonderful relationship that you have been building on. And God wants us to be wonderfully well-healed and let everything that breaks heal better. Some have had broken legs. They always say that bone is stronger. Let our relationships be like that. Also, your relationship with your children. Because it's sometimes so difficult, sometimes in that age where they, oh, you would just like to pick them together and just say, this is where you belong. But you have given them roots and you have given them wings, and it's time for them to go. And the time for you see them go is the hardest part, until you get used to it and you find more space in your house. Yes, that's right. Or they come back. But that's not what you want to do. Now, sometimes we have difficult things in our lives. And you can pick it up and look at it. And Corrie ten Boom, she would always say this poem. And I want you to just listen to it for a second. Because if you think about how God creates in our lives sometimes upheavals, and you don't understand. You walk with God and you thought it was be glorious. I became a Christian during my nursing period. And I thought life with Jesus was going to be super. Sometimes I found that my life before I met Jesus was much easier. Really, I have to tell you that. Because I had my own ways. And I did my own thing. But having that extra Trinity around, life changes. And Corrie could have an easy way if she never had loved the Jews. She would have been a nice watchmaker. And she would have had a wonderful time with special need children and all kinds of things. But God changed her life. Like Alex said yesterday, so often we are changed. There's something happening in your life. And it doesn't mean that everything is easy. But Corrie had a little embroidery, and it was a crown. And someone made a big mess on the other side. Someone who can embroider here. I'm sometimes going to ask him to make me a crown with a messy backside on a piece of silk that I can roll up in my suitcase easily and carry with me. That little blue little piece with the crown on it, she rolled out in many ways. And she would show it to you today. Because we had a little talk, why? And Corrie would say, my life is like a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors, but he worketh steadily. Oft times, he chooses sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper, the beautiful crown, and I the underside, the mess. As he spoke the last two lines, Corrie would turn her cloth around so everybody could see a golden crown instead of tangled threads that she would continue. Now, not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly Will God unroll that canvas and explain the reason why? The dark threads are as needful in the skillful master's hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Are you looking at the wrong side? All the messy things. God looks at the crown and he sees what he's doing. He is not making a mistake. He is doing the right things. And then nothing can separate you from my love. We say that sometimes to our children. I remember the first time that I had to leave Johanna behind in Cape Town. And I would say to her, Johanna, nothing separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then the joy was, it was raining that day. We had had only sunshine. And the taxi driver was a wonderful man. And we had to say goodbye to Johanna by the door in the rain. And the taxi driver started to sing, Precious Blood of Jesus. And I thought, why is he singing that? He doesn't know me. Ah, maybe he knew what it meant to say goodbye to your daughter. So it's always fun to see her, but I can concentrate on the moment that we have to say goodbye. And then the whole week is a misery. So never do that. Always enjoy every minute in your life. Nothing can separate you from my love. Let this divine insurance trickle through your mind and into your heart and soul. Whenever you start to feel fearful and anxious, repeat this unconditional promise. Nothing can separate me from your love, Lord Jesus. This afternoon, when I'm sitting in our circle of quietness, that's the sentence I'm going to use. Nothing can separate me from your love. Most of mankind's misery stems from feeling unloved. In the midst of adverse circumstances, people tend to feel that love has been withdrawn and they have been forsaken. This feeling of abandonment is often worse than the adversity itself. Be assured that I never abandon any of my children, not even temporary. I will never leave you or forsake you. My presence watches over you continually. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Last night I was a little bit worried that I would forget 3 o'clock. I always write my daughter or we call. Or my son, who is in Colorado, so close by. A wonderful boy. But he's totally different than Johanna. He's the artist. By himself. He finds his way. He is a wonderful character. And to communicate every time with him, that means I have to wait for a week for another letter to come. Well, Johanna, when I write her at 3 o'clock and I wake up in the morning at 6 or 7, there's a wonderful letter already back. So I need to take a little patience with Peter and keep on writing, even when I don't hear anything. And then, on the end of the month, I suddenly get this wonderful little package from Peter that he has worked on. Wonderful painting. A little bit of artwork. And then he said, Mom, thanks for all those letters you wrote. I didn't want to write back. You see, we all have different ways to say hello. And to respond. And there it is again. Their thumbprints are so different. My presence watches over you continually. I have graved you in my palm of my hand. Well, I didn't put it in the palm of my hand, but I wrote down 3 o'clock. Because I had a little bit of a routine at 3 o'clock. and I needed to put a new little routine in there. And that is to pray for the camp at 3 o'clock. Now, I must tell you, I did not dress and go to the chapel here. I just threw my blankets away, put a big pillow under my neck, and I just started to be quiet and pray. Pray for myself that I would be a channel of God's love. So easy to stop that. Pray for the people around me who I just start to know. Pray for young people. Like last night before I went home, they said, "Ellen, how old are you?" I was born when my mother was 40. I said, "My daughter was born when I was 40. "Really? But you're 50. And I said, "No, I'm 74. "Wow. Well, we didn't know that you were 74. "You are really 74. "Yeah, and I said, "If you are 33, your mommy will be my age." And I could just see those eyes and thought, okay, it's not so bad. So write down things that are important. I have always a worry about Peter, because Peter has an up and a down character. He has some problems with learning. There are lots of things. And then later in his life, he found out that he really needed to be on medicine. And his little character, that beautiful character, became even. But I remember, school was always hard for him. And I remember when he came one day home, and I was home from nursing, it's always such a wonderful moment when you are home a moment before a child comes home with a burden. It has to do with listening. I could have talked with a nurse. I could have have a cup of coffee on the way and meet some friends. But there was this energy in me that says, time to go home, right after work. I hadn't even changed out of my uniform. And I sat down with a cup of coffee in the kitchen table. And Peter came in. And I could hear, you can hear your child if they are at ease or upset or something. And I remember, something had happened today in Peter's life. And he walked in and he says, "Mom, why is everything so easy for Johanna? And why is everything so hard for me?" And I said, "Oh, Peter, you know what? I'm going to pick up something. I have your birth on a tape. And I want you to listen to your birthing. 37 hours. He said, "Mama, I'm not interested in 37 hours. I said, "No, it's not 37 hours on the tape. It's just that last bit. And then you hear the doctor said, "Oxygen, oxygen. The baby. We need to pull him out." You hear all these things go on. Every person is rushing. But in the background, my husband had music playing. You were allowed in those days. I don't know if you still can do that. So, and then Peter didn't breathe. He was blue as blue could be. My heart almost stopped. Peter's heart stopped. And there he was in this world. This beautiful redhead, 9 pounds. My first baby, 37 years old. What a beautiful baby, but he didn't scream. I delivered another baby that's better when they make a little noise. But after a couple of minutes, and he hears all this stuff on this tape. And he said, "Mom, that was really difficult. I didn't know that." And I said, "Peter, I couldn't tell you. I didn't feel it was the right time." And he said, "Now I've heard my tape. Can I hear Johanna's?" I said, "No." "Oh, well, Mom, please share Johanna's tape with me." And I said, "No, Johanna, we didn't have a tape. We didn't have music. We didn't have anything. She was almost born in the elevator." You mean she didn't go to all these things that I went through? Yep, she didn't. This was our Johanna. Johanna pops out. She's like a little round, wonderful, I call her always a ball. Poop, there she is. And Peter was more like a square. And so this boy has lived with this being a square his whole life. And he started to be jealous of Hannah's wonderful, easy life. Never afraid, all these things. Why do I tell you that story? Because God gives me the joy of working with children who have difficulties learning, who are on medication, who are depressed on moments that you don't want them to be depressed. And so Peter, I have watched. And I have watched Hannah in a total different way. And it always stresses me. But I know one thing. That's what I just learned and read again. The feeling of abandonment is often worse than the adversity itself. And Peter had to be absolutely secured of our love every day. He's still such a feeler. Bob and I had a very hard time in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in a church that we had to take over after a pastor had been there for 37 years, and he left his right-hand man behind. They had a very difficult time. And sometimes it was so difficult that we didn't know what to do, and we were upset and sad and cried together. And sometimes the children overheard us, but they never said a word. Only later in our lives, when Bob started to share the story that life wasn't easy, Peter John says, "Mom and Dad, I am so happy you're telling me that, because I thought for all this time that it was all my fault." What a glorious moment when you can set a person free from what is not and what is real. Your children, your friends, the children of your best friends, sometimes are going through a very difficult time, and you have no idea why. Give them a little time. Don't push it. Because everything in God's kingdom has to do with time. And the God who made all the time has all the time. We are always in a hurry. One thing to the other. I'd like to finish with a beautiful story of Isaac Stern. Bob and I, we had the privilege in Nottingham. We had a beautiful concert hall. And then we lived in Arlington. We had in the Kennedy Center. And now we have Richmond. And we have a beautiful center. And so it's one of our very important privileges that we go to concerts, because that takes you away from all the busyness of life. And one night was this great concert, and Isaac Stern was going to play the violin. I can't recall exactly what he played, but we know one thing. When Isaac Stern plays, it was already quiet. But it was even more quiet than any other moment that night. And this short man, with his Jewish face, putting himself in such a wonderful way into his music. And halfway, the whole concert hall heard this. And Mr. Stern, his face got stern. His face was not happy. And he was playing still, but he was looking over the whole concert hall, listening where that noise came from, and it was right in front of him. And when he looked, there were four wheelchairs, and one of the children had cerebral palsy. And he had this wonderful program. Now, in England, we had programs you couldn't make noise with. But this child was so excited about the music, and he couldn't sit quiet anymore. And he started to wrestle with this piece of paper. He couldn't get rid of it either. And when Mr. Stern saw the tension in this child, he held that violin even better than ever before. And he started to play into that child. He stepped forward and played and played. I have never heard him play more beautiful than that very moment. Our God knows the sounds in our lives, embarrassing sounds sometimes. But the God who is the creator of everything that's beautiful will lean into you and will make the music just for you and for no other person. And then the little boy, he relaxed and the paper went down. But the violinist played and played. He did not keep his eye off this child. And so is it with God. He will not let his eye off you, even when you need a new job. He will not let your eye go off when you are in New York, because God knows your hunger and your thirst for God. Brother, you are a joy. It's wonderful. If you look around, you think about the people who need to hear that word, that our God knows you, your stress, your up and down, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Father, lean into us today. Never leave us nor forsake us. Never. And when we are wandering, and when we are worried, financially, friendship-wise, the people that are going to be a part of our lives, you lean in, and if we listen well, then you will speak to us, and you will guide us, and you will not leave us. We are very precious in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.